Chapter 3.
Hey, said a familiar voice. Hey, come on, man, get up.
Tim ignored it.
Don't you roll over on me. Rise and shine, bucko.
The slapping and kicking was more difficult to ignore. Tim opened his eyes and swatted Frank's hand away.
Chill out, dude. I'm up. Why's everything got to be at the crack of dawn with you?
You went to sleep at the crack of dawn, said Frank. Right now is the crack of mid-afternoon. And we've got some brainstorming to do.
He held out a mug.
Drink this.
Brainstorming? Said Rhonda, carrying some dirty breakfast dishes behind the bar. With this group? My forecast is mostly cloudy with a slim chance of brain.
Cooper yawned and scratched his balls under his loincloth. He looked about as rough as Tim felt.
Fucking hell. Can somebody go and put a dick in her mouth?
Uh-uh, said Frank. You two lovebirds, knock that shit off. We've got a real shot at getting out of here, and we need to focus.
Is this supposed to be coffee?
Asked Tim.
It tastes like river sludge. It's not even hot.
It was hot when I started trying to wake your sorry ass up.
Tim closed his eyes and choked back the rest of the lukewarm liquid.
Start without me. I've got to go take a piss.
As he got to his feet, his blurry vision sharpened on Stacy. She was sitting at a table next to Julian and smiling down at Tim.
Charming.
Sorry, said Tim. I mean, I've got to take a leak.
Oh, that's much better.
Tim set his empty mug down on Stacy's table and stumbled outside through the unfinished section of wall that most everyone was using as a door. It was probably a good place to put one. He eyed the outhouse as he walked past. If he caught a whiff of it, he'd puke for sure. Puking while pissing was no easy task if you don't want to be soaked with at least one of the two, and he didn't think his bladder could hold out much longer. Better to water the tree. Pulling Tim Jr. out for a bit of fresh air, he aimed at the knob in the tree trunk that he hadn't yet reached. His tank was full. Today could be the day.
Pardon me, sir. Jesus Christ.
Tim looked up. Ravenous was perched on a branch, looking down at him.
Apologies, sir. I didn't mean to startle you. Well, you startled the shit out of me. You know I can't understand you when you talk like that.
Tim bottled his frustration.
Hi-ho, cheerio, pip-pip, what the fuck do you want?
Said Ravenous, like he was choosing his words carefully.
What exactly are you doing here? Well, blimey, governor. I thought I might squirt me old trouser snake on this here tree trunk. Now be a good chap and turn the fuck around. I can't concentrate with you looking at me. Does it have to be here, sir? I piss here all the time. Do you? Dude, what the hell is wrong with you? Give a bloke some privacy, eh?
Ravenous lowered his head.
Very well, sir.
He turned around. Tim considered taking aim at Ravenous, but his stream would never reach that high. He focused on his original goal and soaked his target knob with his initial blast.
Wow!
Tim sighed as what felt like half of his body weight darkened the tree trunk.
Now that's how you start a day.
The stream flowed down the trunk, pooling at the base of the tree before meandering onto a patch of freshly turned earth, where it seeped into the loosened soil.
What was that? Was someone starting a garden here?
Why would...
Holy shit!
Beyond the urine-soaked patch of earth, an emaciated dire rat stared at him through empty eye sockets. Its dead body was suspended in a threatening pose inside some dying bushes. Its mouth hung open, showing off its spiny, needle-like teeth.
Jesus Christ, Ravenous!
Said Tim. He could see the thing was dead, but he still had the memory of those teeth raking through his flesh, scraping against his bones.
Why did you have to...
It was too much. He dropped to his knees and threw up all over the upturned patch of earth. Since he'd drunk much more than he'd eaten, most of what came out of him was liquid and seeped into the ground to mingle with his piss. But a few solid chunks stayed on top. Hopefully, a mixture of recycled booze and stomach acid was nutritious for seeds.
Are you quite done, sir?
Ravenous sounded uncharacteristically stern. Tim hopped to his feet and pointed up at the bird.
Don't take that tone with me, you eyeball-gobbling freak! What do you expect a person to do when they see...
He couldn't bear to look at the thing again, so he pointed blindly in its general direction.
That! I didn't! It wasn't!
Ravenous flapped his wings and ruffled his feathers before settling down.
I'm very sorry, sir. You'd better stick to smaller prey. I was nearly killed by dire rats. It looks like you got lucky with a skinny one. But those things are dangerous.
The experience had not been pleasant, but Tim walked back to the Horse Head Inn with a much clearer head. His hands were sticky with vomity mud, and his knees were stained with piss-soaked soil, but at least he could think straight.
"But what makes you so sure he's a first-level scrub?"
asked Tony the Elf.
"For all we know, he could be a 20th-level wizard."
Tim climbed onto a table, then onto a crossbeam in the gap of unfinished wall he'd walked in through to get a better look at the crowd. Julian stood in front of the bar. The inn's residents gathered in a semicircle around him. Cooper was behind the bar, near the cellar door. When he spotted Tim, he looked down and said something to whoever was standing next to him, most likely Dave, as the person was too short for Tim to see.
"We all started at level one, right?" said Julian.
Tony the Elf rolled his eyes.
"That was his decision. What's so hard about writing level 20 on a character sheet?"
"He didn't have a character sheet," said Julian. "He didn't plan this out. He just threw the dice to avoid falling to his death."
"Besides," said Stuart, the monk who'd helped them confront Millard the vampire, "if he were a 20th level wizard, don't you think he'd paid us a visit by now?"
"That doesn't mean anything," said Tony the Elf. "Maybe he's staying away because he's afraid of facing all of us together."
"Bullshit,"
said a voice that Tim couldn't identify.
"Why not?"
Tony the Elf addressed Frank.
"That's how we face down Eric. We stick together and defend the Horse Head."
Frank shook his head. His little gnome fists were balled up in frustration.
"Eric was no 20th level wizard. I agree with Julian. If we sit here and wait for him, we're going to regret it. We've got the dice, and he's the only one who can use them. He's going to come after us sooner or later, and he has knowledge of this world that can help him grow very powerful very quickly."
"What about the gnome?"
said Tony the Elf. He was sounding more and more desperate.
"Mr. Goosewiggles?"
"Professor Goosewaddle," Julian corrected him.
"Whatever. Can't he figure out how to work the dice? We could all just go home and ditch Mordred here. He already told us that the magic involved was more powerful than anything he'd ever seen. He knew enough to recognize how they were bonded to Mordred, didn't he? Maybe he just needs to study them more. Do some reverse engineering."
"No," said Frank. "If the professor thought he could do it, he wouldn't have dismissed the idea so quickly. He's a gnome. We're curious by nature. Anyway, you don't need to be a computer programmer to be able to recognize the on-off switch on the monitor. We need Mordred, and we've got something he wants. Our only chance is to get him before he's so powerful that he doesn't have to bargain with us."
If Tim had to assign someone the title of leader in the Horse Head Inn, Frank would be the guy. But it wasn't a political position. Frank didn't actually wield any power over the others, nor did he seem to want to. He was one of the founders, though, and he had a combination of charisma and wisdom that made him easy to talk to and well worth listening to. But his word wasn't law, and as the discussion wore on, quite a few of the inn's residents were siding with Tony the Elf, who stood firm that they should stay together and defend their home away from home. While fear was certainly a factor, Tony the Elf had presented some strong arguments to support his position, the strongest of which was that none of them had any idea where to look for Mordred anyway. A few of the more accomplished wizards and sorcerers among them attempted scrying, but none of them could get a lock on him. They were looking for a fat, bearded guy in a cape, but wherever Mordred was, he was someone else now. Cooper had either shoved or farted a path through the crowd. He, Dave, and Chaz came up to meet Tim.
"What's up?"
asked Tim, trying to stay half-focused on the Mordred debate.
"Mitch, your sister," said Dave. "We can't find her."
"It's daytime, dingus. She's asleep in the bag of holding."
"We looked in there," said Chaz. "I looked in there."
Tim's attention was now firmly fixed on Chaz. His colorful silk clothes hung a little more loosely on his body, and he had a streak of gray in his hair. His encounter with the troll and his time with Millard had taken their toll on him.
"What about the cellar?"
Chaz and Dave shook their heads.
"I asked around a little," said Dave. "Nobody remembers seeing her since early last night."
"God damn it, Catherine!"
Tim looked around for something to punch. Coming up empty, he just shook his fist.
"This is the second time she's done this. Last time she went and got herself murdered. Why can't she just hang out in a bar and drink herself to sleep like a normal person?"
"Well, what the fuck are we standing around here for?"
asked Cooper.
"Let's go find her."
Tim shook his head.
"Fuck that."
"Dude, she's your sister."
"And where do you suppose we look, Cooper? There's a big world out there, and she's got to be hiding in the dark. She could literally be anywhere. Shit. I never should have let her out of that goddamn bag."
Dave frowned.
It's only a couple of hours before sundown. Maybe she'll come back.
Tim guessed Dave was trying to be comforting, but he really sucked at it. Maybe she'll come back. The unspoken implication, of course, was that maybe she was a pile of ashes on a scorched bit of street somewhere. All he could do was wait and hope. While he wasn't in the mood for company, Tim didn't want to be alone with his thoughts. Best to drown them out. He hopped down onto the floor, stomped away from his friends in a manner which he hoped made clear that he didn't want to be followed, and settled into a little nook at the back of the inn. There was no room for a table or stool. This was probably meant to be a supply closet or something when it was finished. Tim sat on the dirt floor, retrieved his flask from his vest's inside pocket, and swigged back as much stone piss as he could gulp. It burned in his throat and failed to block thoughts of Catherine from his mind. Catherine wasn't a stupid girl. She was just naive. She didn't know this game. As badass as a vampire could be, its weaknesses were numerous and severe. Tim should have kept a closer eye on her. He'd already failed to protect her once. His chest started tightening as the thought of never seeing his sister again really started to weigh in. He tried to keep his emotions at bay with another swig, but he choked it up through his nose as the tears started pouring out of his eyes. He buried his head between his knees and tried to muffle his whimpers and sobs.
Hey man, you all right?
Fuck. Cooper. The last thing Tim needed was Cooper catching him crying like a little bitch. It was bad enough he was trapped inside the body of a toddler. He faked a cough, but it came out like a squeaky dog toy.
I'm good.
Tim's voice was raw and raspy. He rubbed his face into the crook of his arm and held up his flask.
I just took some down the wrong pipe.
Cooper sucked in air through his teeth.
Shit, that must burn like a motherfucker.
Tim determined the tears still in his eyes could sufficiently be explained by the choking on stone piss story. He looked up at Cooper.
Tell me about it.
Cooper's face didn't look quite as stupid as it usually did. He looked serious.
Cat'll come back. She's smarter than you think.
Tim shook his empty flask and flashed a half-hearted smile.
Time for a refill.
The mortar debate was still raging as Tim crawled under people's legs to get behind the bar. Factions had further divided, but it didn't sound like anyone was contributing anything new to the dialogue. It was the same old bullshit. But now that the drinks had started to flow a bit, the same old bullshit was starting to heat up. Frank called Tony the Elf a coward for wanting to hide from Mordred, and Tony the Elf called Frank a coward for not wanting to defend the Horsehead Inn. It had always been such a chill atmosphere. Tim had never seen these guys at each other's throats like this before. He climbed up onto the bar, filled his flask from a bottle of stone piss, necked back what was left of the bottle, then hurled it down between his feet. The shatter of glass against the bar brought on a swift ceasefire in the arguing as all eyes turned toward Tim.
Shut the fuck up already! He yelled.
Frank glared up at him.
Do you have an insight you'd like to contribute to the discussion?
No,
said Tim.
Because you and Tony the Elf have already contributed the only two facts that matter, and they both lead to the same conclusion.
Frank's plump little gnome face was turning redder.
And what's that?
Mordred could be anywhere, said Tim. There's a big world out there, and that asshole knows every inch of it. If he doesn't want to be found, we're never going to find him.
That doesn't mean we shouldn't at least try.
Tim shook his head.
Fine, try. Let me know how it goes.
He hopped down off the bar. The crowd parted to let him pass. He walked toward the rear of the building.
Where do you think you're going? Said Frank.
I'm going to see if Mordred's in the toilet. I'll report back soon.
While Tim did need to pee, he was more relieved to be walking away from the Horsehead Inn than he was to be walking toward his favorite pissing tree.
Tim!
Cooper called out after him.
Wait up!
It felt suspiciously like his friends didn't trust him to be alone.
What? Do you want to watch me take a piss?
Sure.
Tim couldn't help but smile a little to himself. Suicide watch was a sweet, if unnecessary, gesture. He stopped smiling when he looked ahead and saw Ravenous still perched on the same branch of the pissing tree. He couldn't put his finger on why, but he kind of expected to see him there. There was something peculiar about the way the bird was acting today.
Good day, gentlemen,
said Ravenous as Tim and Cooper approached the tree. Tim ignored him and pulled out his sad little dick. If the bird wanted to watch, so be it. Knowing his bladder wasn't full enough to try for a new height, he pissed a lazy zigzag pattern on the lower trunk. When he was done, he didn't feel like going back to the inn just yet.
Hey, Coop, why don't you head back in? I could use a little alone time. It's thoughtful of you to worry about me, but...
Who said I'm worried about you?
Cooper squatted, holding under the tree trunk for support.
I came out here to drop a deuce.
Tim turned away and hoped it wouldn't be noisy.
Oh, dear, said Ravenous. Is he about to...
Dude,
said Cooper.
Could you ask the bird not to watch? He's breaking my concentration.
Hey, bloke, Tim shouted up at Ravenous. Stop being creepy, huh? 1,000 apologies, sir, said Ravenous. But do you think you could ask him to do that somewhere else? Fuck you, Ravenous. Nobody's begging you to watch. If you don't like it, then get the fuck out of here.
Oh, that's good,
said Cooper.
Keep shouting at him. I've got my concentration back.
Please, sir, pleaded Ravenous. Literally anywhere else would do.
Unfucking believable.
Listen, Ravenous, I've got a lot on my mind right now, and you're really starting to weird me out, so I'm going to make this as plain as I can. Please go away, you fat feathered fuck.
Ravenous stared down at him for a moment, his beak wide open. He ruffled his feathers and took a few deep breaths.
My diet is different here than it was in the wild.
His voice cracked as he spoke. He took another deep breath.
And I feel I should point out that you've put on a bit of weight yourself.
He stuck his chest out defiantly, ready for whatever further insults Tim had to hurl his way.
Ah,
said Cooper.
There it is. Nice and smooth, like soft serve.
Ravenous buried his head under a wing. Tim didn't need guilt heaped on top of the pile of emotions that was already weighing him down.
I'm sorry, Ravenous. That was wrong of me. I'm just worried about my sister, and I took it out on you.
Ravenous peeked out from under his wing.
Your sister? She's been missing all day, and I'm worried about her getting caught out in the sun.
Hmm,
said Ravenous. He lowered his wing and glanced down at Cooper, who was humming to himself and swerving his hips in a circular motion as the shit continued to flow.
That's the least of her worries.
Tim looked curiously up at the bird.
What do you mean?
Ravenous turned sharply back to Tim.
What? Nothing.
Tim didn't need a sense motive check to see the bird was hiding something.
Ravenous?
He spoke calmly but sternly.
Is there something you're not telling me? Do you know something about Catherine?
Ravenous shifted his weight from one foot to the other.
Of course not, sir. Nothing at all. Who's Catherine?
Bullshit!
Tim hurled his flask at Ravenous, hitting him in the face and knocking him off his perch. The stunned bird landed with a thud on the ground, and Tim pinned him down with both hands.
Holy shit!
Said Cooper.
Tim, what the fuck are you doing?
Stay out of this, Cooper!
Tim stared into Ravenous's eyes.
Tell me what you know!
Wrestling a bird was harder than Tim would have imagined. Flapping wings repeatedly smacked Tim in the face, and he had to practically lie down on top of Ravenous to keep his talons pinned to the ground.
I can't, sir! Ravenous shrieked. I'm sworn to secrecy!
I don't want to have to do this, Ravenous, but you're not leaving me any choice!
Tim plucked one of Ravenous's tail feathers. Ravenous squawked.
Stop that! I need those!
Where is she?
Please, sir, if you just calm down, the whole matter will be resolved in a few.
You think I'm fucking around?
Pluck.
Squawk!
You better start talking, bird, or you're gonna be as bald as my fat little ass. What do you know about...
Tim got tackled by what felt like a speeding freight train. The world spun around his head. When it stopped, he was staring up at Julian, who was pinning his arms to the ground. Ravenous flew back up to the safety of his branch. Tim squirmed under Julian's weight.
Get the fuck off me!
Julian held him down firmly.
What the hell do you think you're doing to Ravenous?
He looked up at Cooper.
Why didn't you stop? Go!
A knee in the nuts loosened his grip. Tim pushed Julian off and rolled away.
That bird's holding out on me!
Julian stood up slowly on shaky legs, cradling his balls.
What are you talking about?
He said it himself. He's sworn to secrecy. Ask him!
Julian looked up at his familiar.
Ravenous?
Ravenous lowered his head.
I'm sorry, sir.
You see?
Said Tim.
I told you. He's been sitting on that fucking branch acting suspicious all day.
Julian looked up at the branch, and from there back to the horse head. His eyes widened.
I can't betray my...
Shut up, Ravenous, said Julian. Don't say another word.
Tim tugged at handfuls of his own hair.
What?
Julian shifted his gaze from Ravenous's branch to the inn and back again before glaring at Tim.
How dare you torture my familiar for information? He's got as much right to privacy as any of us.
Are you fucking kidding me? Said Tim. His feathers will grow back. Catherine's life might be on the line here.
Julian looked genuinely puzzled.
Your sister? What does she have to do with any of this?
Tim shook his fists.
That's exactly what I want to find out.
Julian pursed his lips and furrowed his brow.
Do you mind if I have a word alone with Ravenous?
Tim sighed and rolled his eyes.
Whatever. Sure.
He bent over to pick up his flask while Julian walked off with his crazy-ass bird on his shoulder, whispering in his ear. All Tim could hear was Julian's side of the conversation, which wasn't very informative.
Oh? Oh. Oh. Oh.
What the fuck?
Said Cooper.
Did I accidentally shit out a pentagram?
That was enough to pull Tim's attention away from Julian and Ravenous's conversation.
What set of circumstances could possibly compel you to ask? Holy shit!
The patch of freshly turned earth on which Cooper had just finished defecating was shifting, as if some living thing was buried underneath and trying to get out. Tim had already spent his default reaction to such a situation on the tree trunk. Before he had time to come up with a new reaction, a fist burst out of the ground.
Fucking zombies,
said Cooper. He casually walked over to the unearthed forearm and started stomping on it.
No!
Ravenous cried. He flew into Cooper's face and squawked and cawed. Cooper tried to swat at him while continuing to stomp on the zombie's arm.
Ravenous, knock it off, stupid fucking whoa!
The hand grabbed Cooper's ankle and pulled his foot right out from under him, sending him crashing onto his back straight into his own pile of shit. It balled up into a fist again and punched him square in the junk. Cooper groaned and rolled out of the way before the hand could strike again. But the hand didn't even try to strike. It rubbed its fingers together, then shook violently, as if it realized it was tainted with Cooper's nut musk. The hand felt around in flattened poo until it found a patch of clean grass, then wiped itself, its slender white fingers twitching the whole time. Finally, the hand dissolved into a wisp of vapor. This was no zombie. Tim looked at the patch of earth. His own dried chunks of vomit were still visible in Cooper's fresh turd cake.
Shit!
A column of red vapor shot out of the hole the hand had created, a geyser of pissed off Catherine. It formed a mushroom cloud 10 feet in the air. Tim took a step back. Cooper crawled away from the cloud as well, one hand still cradling his balls. Once all the mist had ejected itself from the hole in the ground, it started to condense into larger droplets about 10 feet away from Cooper's shit pile. In a matter of seconds, the mist had coalesced into the recognizable shape of a red liquid woman. The finer details, such as whatever was going on top of her head, were not revealed until the transformation was complete, and her normal colors returned.
What the hell is wrong with you people?
Asked Catherine as soon as she was whole again. It had been pretty messed up to see her explode out of the ground in a blood mist and come together as a person like a red T-1000, but it was somehow stranger to see her standing here now, in blue jeans and a black, damp turtleneck and a pair of pants not entirely unlike blue jeans on top of her head.
Catherine?
Said Cooper, apparently only now catching up to what was going on. Catherine pulled the strange pants off the top of her head and flung them on the ground.
Why does everyone in the world suddenly decide to relieve themselves on the spot where I choose to sleep?
You've got no room to complain, said Tim. Not after what you put me through. I've been worried sick about you all day.
At least for as much of the day as he'd realized she was missing.
Anyway, how the hell were we supposed to know where you were? Next time maybe you should tell someone before you up and decide to bury yourself under the pissing tree.
Catherine glared at Ravenous.
I did tell someone.
I'm sorry, Miss Catherine, said Ravenous. I tried to dissuade them. Don't apologize to her, said Tim. She got exactly what she deserved.
He looked up at Catherine.
None of this would have happened if you'd slept in the bag of holding. Nobody ever pisses or pukes in there.
Catherine raised her eyebrows at him.
I mean, well, not since the first time.
I'm not getting back in that bag, ever.
She took off her backpack and pulled out a silver pitcher.
Please, said Tim. You won't survive long if you keep trying to hide in shallow holes every day. Sooner or later, a dog is going to dig you up or something, and you'll be fried in the sunlight. Just play it safe until you've got a better idea of what you're doing.
I know exactly what I'm doing, said Catherine,
running her fingers through the tangles of her filthy hair.
I'll figure out a better sleeping arrangement after I figure out how I'm going to get the pee smell out of... Yow!
Catherine dropped the pitcher. The hand that she'd been holding her hair with was sizzling and smoking.
Fuck! That hurts! What was I thinking?
Water continued to flow from the mouth of the pitcher. The expanding puddle crept towards Catherine's feet. Of course, she was too busy nursing her burning hand to notice. Tim waited a few seconds before alerting her.
Catherine?
What?
She snarled, baring her fangs at him.
Look down.
Huh?
She looked down just in time to see the puddle nearly touching her toes.
Shit!
She jumped up in the air, transformed into a bat, and flew up to the branch Ravenous had been sitting on all day, where she once again took her half-elf-slash-goth-slash-beatnik form.
Is that acid?
Asked Julian, stepping cautiously up to the border of the expanding puddle.
Nope,
said Tim, stepping into the water to demonstrate how little harm would come to him.
Just plain old water. My sister, who knows exactly what she's doing, is learning a valuable lesson about how running water affects vampires. From the sound of it, this may not be her first time learning this lesson.
It's not a big deal, said Catherine.
She held out her hand.
See? It's already healed.
So what are you going to do in your hole when there's a heavy rain, or when a dire bear decides to piss on you?
That was really the second danger scenario to pop into your head?
Hey guys,
said Cooper.
How much water does that fucking thing hold?
The puddle had spread out to reach him by this point, and water was still freely flowing out of the pitcher. Tim picked up the pitcher, and the water stopped. When he tipped it sideways again, water poured out, but the weight didn't decrease at all.
Is this a decanter of endless water?
He looked up at Catherine.
Where did you get this?
I picked it up while I was getting my things at Millard's place. I thought it might be useful.
Oh, shit,
said Tim. He dropped the decanter on the ground and looked at Cooper and Julian.
I know where Mordred is.